from the 2016 OLC Innovate Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm Tom Cavanaugh.
And I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And you are listening to TopCast. So we probably sound a little different, don't we, Kelvin?
Yeah. We sound like really, I don't know, hipper and more mellow than
normal. Yeah.
Why is that?
We are currently sitting out on the sidewalk in the Garden District of New Orleans during the OLC Innovate Conference at a coffee shop that you have discovered.
Yeah, the Mojo Coffee House, locally roasted, batch craft roasted coffees. And we walked 17 miles to get here.
Felt like it, in the New Orleans humidity.
That's right. What do you think of this place?
It was good. Yeah, we should probably snap a picture before we leave.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I meant to do that. I did snap one of the back of your head in front of the sign earlier. It was lovely.
Nothing better than the back of my head. It's my
right.
Best side. Yeah. Get my good side.
So we always talk about our coffee. I'm having one that was recommended by the barista from their stock here, and it's a Kenyan pea berry, and was done on a pour-over method, and it was quite tasty, I thought. But you opted for something different.
I opted for something different, indeed. So we are in New Orleans, and I thought, well, when in Rome,
I thought we were in New Orleans.
Yeah, I decided to get a café au lait.
Oh, café au lait.
And it was quite good.
So what Nero drank?
Yes, yeah, that's what Nero, Constantine drank. Yeah.
Something in Rome.
And so it was good.
Yeah.
And so thematically, these tie to our topic of the day, don't they?
Do tell, Tom. How do they tie into
right,
the
so
topic
if,
of the day?
If those of you who have been regular listeners recall, we talked a few months ago about the Iron Triangle of quality, cost, and access. And we said we would occasionally revisit those broad categories as time went on. Today, welcome to the TopCast episode, quality.
Ah, yes, quality.
Quality. So you got a particular type of coffee that was prepared in a particular way to ensure quality,
that's
I would
true.
Assume.
Yeah.
And I got a cafe au lait, which you might say maybe isn't necessarily quality, although it was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I was going with a definition of quality that that is more along the lines of, does the product or service meet expectations?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the expected drink.
Yeah.
And it definitely met expectations. So to me, I had a quality experience.
No, that's good. I like that. And we have, I think, touched on quality a little bit as we've laid a foundation for the Iron Triangle. And I think we've talked in previous episodes about, you know, the fact that there is a tension between those three points of the triangle, the affordability and the access and the quality, and we've used coffee before, and you know, kind of the off-the-shelf coffee is maybe not perceived generally as good, as something to kind of boutique, artisanal roasting kind of thing. So I think there is inherently this sense that you're coming to this devoted place where they do something on site. Well, of course they're going to do it better.
Right. It must be quality.
It must be quality.
Yeah.
But how do you really, apart from, like you said, I think that was good, the expectations thing, apart from on that individual basis, did your expectations get met or exceeded? How do you determine quality? Is there some universal standard?
Well, you know, that it is going back to our first podcast, and we were just chatting about this before we hit record. It is one of those boundary objects that you say the word quality and two different people might have something different in their heads about what is quality. Maybe you love country music. Consider that quality music. And I have no idea. Maybe I love, I don't know, experimental freeform jazz. And I think that's quality. But maybe we each hate the other kind and don't think it's quality music. But it might be groundbreaking quality music, it's just not particularly meeting our expectations. Maybe that's a definition of quality. But then I do think that there probably are some objective standards of quality that that somehow live alongside these individual expectations. So in our field, something like Quality Matters or you know, the quality scorecard from OLC, these might be considered objective standards of quality.
No, that's good. And also Suny's put out the Oscar. I love the name Oscar.
Oscar.
What? OSCQR online course quality rubric.
Alex Pickett process. Would be proud of you.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I butchered some acronym last time, you know. The Center for Online Teaching Excellence in a prior episode, COTE, but she forgave me and loved me anyway, so that's good. Yeah, I think that's right. In our field, for sure, lots of rubrics, right?
Yeah.
Lots of rubrics. Yeah. But is some of the issue... Boy, don't get me started. You know this. We're in the state of Florida. We're going through a little bit of an iron triangle exercise for a number of reasons, and so we've been having statewide discussions about quality, and so there's been some discussion of adopting some sort of a standard that could be of use to all our state universities and state colleges, and it's interesting to get people to agree on a finite list of standards for quality, quote unquote, good quality, high quality online education.
Yeah, I mean that is a good question, and it's something that we as a state are working our way through. And maybe I'll circle back to this idea of expectations: is that if you are paying for a premium, I don't know, private education, mm-hmm. online or otherwise, I guess. Your expectations for what you're going to receive might be a lot higher. And if they're not met, you might perceive that as not being quality for the money. It's more of a value question, I guess. Mm-hmm. But if you are at a community college, which is maybe not a fair thing to say because some of the great work is happening at community colleges, mm-hmm. but maybe for some people, because you're paying less, you're willing maybe to accept a different standard of quality.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I just sort of posit that as a question. I'm not sure how I feel about it because, like, yeah. I said, I know plenty of people in community colleges that do fantastic work. Well, a story that just came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this. And when you're listening to it, who knows? It could
be 10 years old.
10 years ago. It's like, I can't believe they're still talking about that. Some students from George Washington University have sued the university because their master's degree, they felt, wasn't quality. They didn't get the same education that the folks in the classroom got, and that was what they were expecting. And again, this just broke in the news, so mm-hmm. we don't know what will happen with this case.
Right.
But I do think it's a bit of a clarion call for all of us who work in online education to take a look at our programs and make sure that we are delivering on the promise of quality that we make students. And I'm not saying GW didn't. I honestly don't know the details of that case. But obviously some students feel like they didn't get what they were paying for.
And I guess there's countervailing sets of expectations, right? It's like the seemingly age-old debate around end-of-term evaluation, student perception evaluations of teaching or of the instructor. There's a whole body of literature around that, and some people finding value in students' feedback on the course and the instructor's teaching, and others rolling their eyes. Well, how is that student qualified to decide whether this was a good experience or not? They don't know what they don't know. And
that's right.
So countervailing expectations that I've had whenever I've taught online, at least seemingly one student every semester who in my weekly feedback forms, well, how was this and how was that? And well, it's an online course. I don't expect it to be any more connected or any more interactive than it is. And there's sort of this a priori assumption that it's going to be less somehow. And so it's just dismissed. So expectations.
I hope that's changing.
I hope so. It's not a lot. It's just usually one student. I don't get the same student every semester. So I think it's a funny thing. But expectations of the students versus expectations of the faculty versus expectations of other authorities, like boards of trustees or in a public institution, the public or state government or whoever the stakeholders are for the institution. I think all of those expectations have to be held in balance somehow.
Yeah, and kind of back to the Iron Triangle, it's really hard to impact quality at a large scale without affecting cost or access.
Yeah.
We could make it high quality by just making sure only a certain kind of student has access to it.
Yeah.
But
really highly motivated, engaged, and bright.
4.0
students
maybe who can afford a high tuition and come from the best socioeconomic backgrounds.
Right.
But that's not why we're here.
No.
So You know, that is the challenge of the Iron Triangle, of how do you increase quality and not impact cost and access, or at least maybe even reduce the other two, which is maybe a topic for another day.
So to get a little bit practical for our online education field, here's some things that I find perennially surface in these kinds of conversations about quality. Interaction,
right,
between and among students and faculty, that's a thing, you know, that's fostered and that it's carried out. What are other things that tend
to surface? Well, I mean, you could almost run down the QM rubric and kind of say, yeah, those are all things that kind of, you know, indicate quality in a course. There are other rubrics that probably do a good job, or just as good a job.
CSU CHECO rubric gets...
Yeah, that's one that I've used before. The old Blackboard Greenhouse Award rubric I thought was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that or some combination of them, or something that maybe includes something context-specific for a particular institution. But
can I go on a rant for just a second? I promise it won't be long. I'll come back
Why
soon.
Not?
And I think you've heard me rant on this before. It's just a personal pet peeve. You know, I've spent some time in this area of rubrics and evaluative standards and stuff. And almost universally, and I totally understand why this is, but almost universally, nothing's 100%, but almost universally, these kind of efforts tend to be about course design, about designing for something to happen rather than the actual carrying out of the thing.
Yeah.
And so the actual teaching part, the lived
That's fair.
Experience,
yeah.
Is often ignored or sidestepped or something. And I think that's a short-sighted thing. And I know as we've been talking with in our efforts in Florida, we're the group that's been working with that, we've been trying to keep those things in balance, you know, make sure that we deal with the actual teaching part and not just the design part.
Yes, I've had moments where when I've been teaching an online class, I've had students say things like, "Wow, you sure do respond. That's great. You know, you got right back to me." And the implication being that not all of their faculty, I'm not saying what institution this
right.
is,
right.
did that.
Yes.
And so that is a delivery issue, not a design issue.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, they're those two things, design and delivery, to use those terms, probably pretty closely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. And so probably you could have a course that's extremely well designed but poorly executed.
Right.
Probably you could have one that is a little bit lacking in the design part, but an exceptional instructor could probably make up some difference there.
Yeah, I think a really good instructor can compensate just by being like hyper engaged.
Yeah. And so that's a thing. Your hope for good efforts in both categories.
You would hope. Yeah.
But anyway, this whole thing is kind of challenging. We all are looking to define it. And I think about our colleague Chuck Jubin from UCF. He likes to quote Robert Pirsig on the topic of quality from Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And I don't know the quote, but you know, it comes up as a theme in the book, and which I've read years and years ago. But I think the gist of it, at essence, is, you know, everybody wants to, kind of like the boundary object thing, you think, oh yeah, quality is a thing, but what is quality? And you try to define it, and it's like you wake up from a dream, or the soap bubble bursts or something. It's just it's gone suddenly. You can't pin it down. It's elusive.
So let me give a non-online learning example.
Oh, good.
Anecdote. All right, so we've all seen movies that are a huge hit that you say to yourself, why is that?
Yeah,
a
why
hit?
Is that a hit?
I mean,
right.
That movie was inane or
uh-huh.
stupid, but man, a whole lot of people seem to love it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so they think it's quality. And we had a fundraiser for our part of our annual giving campaign at UCF, where we had a chili competition.
I remember this.
Yes, you probably know where I'm going. And so it was a competition, and everybody got to vote on the best chili that was made by various members of the staff. And I'll call him out by name. Dr. Bill Phillips, one of our...
Beloved colleagues,
one of our lead instructional designers, made chili. For the record, turned out it was all anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up voting for Bill's, so I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Bill did not win.
Mm.
Much to his chagrin, he did not win. And he went on something of a tirade, a good-natured tirade, basically about the Philistines who work at the Center for Distributed Learning.
And in fairness, I mean, Bill is a trained evaluator of various cuisines.
He's a good cook.
And so he does all kinds of barbecue judging and I think chili judging. So he's quite, his palate is educated.
Well, his point was that the ignorant palates of his coworkers were not worthy to judge his chili. And his chili was far superior regardless of the outcome of the voting. So just because he didn't win doesn't mean he didn't have a high quality chili.
Yeah.
But just because the others did win, how am I trying to say this? Because the people voted, right?
Right.
They said it was quality, regardless of Bill's objective standards. Mm-hmm. They said that these chilies, that these other ones that we voted for were high quality. And that's kind of like the movie. You know, there's enough people that said, we like this movie, that we'll spend all this money on it, but it baffles me. And I think that maybe there's a little bit of that in online learning, you know, that some people love a particular kind of course or a particular kind of interaction. Some people like the immediacy of a live, synchronous kind of session.
Right.
Some people don't. They need the flexibility of you know, working on their own time. Some people like lecture capture because they kind of want to feel like they're in the back of the classroom. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of something for everyone. And they might all define those as part of a quality metric of sort. I'm just sort of riffing here.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I question, you know, what is the relationship between objectivity and subjectivity? What is the relationship between consensus and some sort of finite standard? Mm-hmm. You know, that's is it quality because a bunch of people say it's quality regardless of some sort of more objective standard or not?
Yeah. It's a good question. So I'm looking at the clock and your coffee is running down.
Yes.
And I wonder if we maybe can kind of put a ribbon on this.
Yeah, we may have to have a second part to this quality discussion.
Yeah,
it's a messy topic, Tom.
We're not done talking about quality, I hope, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know that we've gotten to any kind of a solution more than just recognizing that we've got an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think then quality will remain one of those really tough arms of the Iron Triangle to bend. And I think that there will remain this tension between an objective standard of quality and individual expectations of quality. And reconciling those two together, I think, will be something that we continue to talk about going forward.
Yes, and probably the whole of a quality perception versus some sort of an effort at individual standards or markers of quality. That tension is probably something that has to be wrestled with as well, because you're going to have something that you can measure or check off or whatever when we're dealing with online education. You can't just be dealing with broad perceptions.
No. And because of accreditation and other reasons, the importance of an objective standard will become more crucial.
Well, and here's the thing, right? Ensure your own quality or it will be ensured for you.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Do you want to define your own standards of quality or have them imposed upon you?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good place to end it.
That probably is a good place to end it.
All right. So from Magazine Street in the Crescent City here in New Orleans.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
I am Tom.
And I'm Kelvin.
See ya.